It is. It is. Because, you know, here's the neat thing. As we worship God through song, we've worshiped God through our giving, and now we have the great opportunity of worshiping God through the Word. And what He wants to give us, He's been teaching me. And so I want to be able to, Lord willing, that you don't hear me today, but you hear God speaking to your heart, and that you would be able to apply these things to your life as He wants to transform each and every one of us. So if you'd like to follow along, there's a couple of ways. One, inside the bulletin, Dom already mentioned, there's a half sheet blue outline. And also, there are Bibles in the back. We will have it on the screen, but it's also good to have it in hand, because we will be going to Scripture today. And also, I'd like to say just thank you for your generous hearts. As Dom already prayed, that this is a deal where we're all a part of it. And so why you give is you're giving to the work that God's already doing around the world. And so that's what's neat, in that there are yes, select few who are able to go, but it is you who help this make this possible. So I thank you for that. And so what I'd like to do today is, you know, I'm excited. I don't know about you, about Kingdom Rock this coming week. Thank you. All right. At least four of us are excited. But here's the thing. I'm really excited about what's about to happen, just as you are. But here's what we want to do today. We want to just take a few moments in Scripture and take a look at why we do what we do. And we're going to look at the gospel today. You see that we have communion that we'll be partaking in, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But we're back today in our Starting Point series, where we've been looking in the book of Romans. And what I want to do is I want to share a story with you, because many of us like stories, yes? Okay, whether you read them or whether they're told to you or you like to tell them. Me, I prefer the story to go to movie or TV because it's a lot easier. I'm more of a visual person. But I want to share a story with you about when our students, we went to Indian Head Camp last month on our youth weekend retreat. And one of the things I did was, is I shared with one of my students, I said, listen, if you do the zip line, I will do the leap of faith. Now, the leap of faith is what you do is you climb up 30 feet up a telephone pole and you stand on a platform. Now, this telephone pole is on a hill as well, so just work with me. We're about 35 feet in the air. And so just want to let you know that I'm strapped in, I'm harnessed in, there's a belayer, we're all good. But I get up to the top, so I brought my wife's little stepladder here just to give you a visual. And so here I go, I climb up, and I was like, I'm up there. You know, but I'm holding on like this, and I look down, and it looks like I'm 100 feet in the air, okay? Because me and heights, we do not get along, but I made a commitment. But I got myself there, and what's neat about stories is there's suspense in them, right? And there's cliffhangers, so I'll get to that in just a bit. But here's what we want to do today. We are looking in Romans, and we've been looking in the chapter 3, and what we're going to do for the last 10 verses of Romans is we're going to break it up into two parts. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at verses 26 through 31. We're going to be looking at living out loud. But what I want to do today is talk about living a better story. You see, during our Starting Point series, we said this, is that God's story is the greatest story forever told. And what we're talking about here today in living a better story is not about feeling good. It's not about having a positive attitude. What we're talking about is God's story of redemption, of God's story of bringing people back to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And see, as followers of Jesus, you and I have the opportunity to not only live that, but we share that very story. And I said we have a communion table here today because our story revolves around this communion table. Now, if our story today is to have a plot, it's this, and it's in your outlines, is that our greatest problem shows us our greatest need. Our greatest problem shows us our greatest need. So when we look at these verses here today in Romans, verses 21 through 26, what I'd like to do first is I'm going to break up the verses in pairs, then we'll read the passage, and then what we want to do is we want to take a look at what it means for us. So as we just mentioned that our greatest problem shows us our greatest need, to begin with, verse 23 in Romans tells us our greatest problem. And our greatest problem is sin. Our greatest problem is sin. It says here in verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." No matter who we are, sin controls our lives. You see, we are bent to do what we want to do. And it's a willful disobedience to God of the things that he wants for us to do. And what we see is that God set a standard. And each of us, we have standards. We have standards for ourselves. We have standards for the jobs that we work at, for the relationships we have in our families, on teams. There are standards that are set for each of those things in our lives. And what we see here is that God set a standard, and his standard was holiness. His standard was perfection. And you and I, as broken people, cannot meet that standard. But what verse 24 shows us here is the hope of our story, is that it shows us our greatest need, and our greatest need is rescue. Our greatest need is rescue. Verse 24 says, and all are justified. In other words, all are made right freely by his grace, God's grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Because you and I, we cannot save ourselves. As we learned a couple weeks ago, it is something that comes from outside of us. God used Jesus Christ to be our rescuer. You see, we also learned a couple weeks ago that we're not good. But what we are in Christ is forgiven. That's what we are. So what I want to do, just briefly, in verses 21 and 22, it talks about the righteousness of God. It talks about a righteousness of God that's apart from the law. Now, we'll talk in more detail about the law next Sunday, but I wanted to give you just a brief definition of what the righteousness of God is. It's God's qualities in perfection and in perfect balance. So in other words, God's ways are perfect, God's truth is perfect, and God's love is perfect. And Paul, in verses 25 and 26, he lays out the gospel message and what it meant to his listeners then and what it means for us today. So if you have your Bibles, let's take a look at Romans chapter 3. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 3. If you also remember that Romans is the sixth book of the New Testament of the Bible, we're going to start in verse 21. So let's read together. It says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. In other words, that the Jews were not privileged to this, and that the Gentiles had no excuse. And so he goes on to say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So what Paul is again doing here in Romans for us is reminding us of the greatness of God. He's reminding us of the brokenness of humankind. And so we can begin to ask the question, so what does it really look like then to live a better story? Nelson Mandela once said, there is no passion to be found in playing small, in settling for a life that is less than the one that you are capable of living. So what we want to do for the next few moments together is we want to look at two things when it comes to living God's better story for our lives. Again, in your outlines, if you're following along, the first is this in living a better story: maximize the problem. Maximize the problem. If you're familiar with Philadelphia Phillies manager Charlie Manuel, he will say, it is what it is, right? And when I thought about him saying that, or even Donovan McNabb used to say that, right? For those of you who are, I'm not an Eagles fan, so is that what he says? I'm just kidding. All right, so here's the deal. It is what it is. And what we have to do is we have to call sin for what it is in our lives. Paul begins to tell us here in verses 23 and 24 that from the very beginning, God created humankind just like himself. God created humankind perfect. God created humankind holy. In other words, God created Adam and Eve set apart for his purposes in this world. That's how God created humankind. But as we know in the story of Adam and Eve decided, well, we can be God, and we don't need God to write our story. We'll write it for ourselves. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they lost God's presence. Their relationship with God was broken. What happened was that you and I have inherited the curse of separation from God. I don't know if any of you have ever received something from a relative or someone who has passed on. You receive something and you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, okay, I could use another one of these. It must just be me, but if you've, you know, I have those relatives who are like, oh, I know you would love this. Sure, okay. But that's just like here in our situation. It's like, thanks a lot, Adam, for giving us this. Wow, this is really what I wanted. I had no choice in it. But that's what we see. But what we also see is in Galatians 3:22. It says, instead, the scripture showed us that the whole world is bound by sin. This was so the promise would be given through faith to people who believe in Jesus Christ. You see, through Christ, once again, we've said this, God is in the process of bringing people back to himself. You see, you and I are what I call beautifully broken. In other words, we are God's image bearers, but yet we're fallen. We are altered versions of ourselves. But here's what the difference is. If you remember our first Sunday, we had Steve in handcuffs and we let him go and we said, wow, when God sees me, when I believe by faith that Jesus did what he did, God sees me complete. And so when by faith we do so, I'm still proud to say I am beautifully broken, but yet I am made complete. And in my life on this earth, I will live like Jesus. I will follow his ways. I will seek out his example. And I will be like Jesus when I am with him for eternity. That's what we can begin to wrap our minds around. And see, the question for us then is, if we talk about maximizing the sin problem in our life, what stops most of us from change? It's denial. We say, and I do this too, like I minimize my sin problem and I say, I don't have a problem. That's not me, that's everybody else. And what ends up happening is that, especially in my own life, I can get short with my temper and I can get controlling. And this is honestly, it's what God continues to work in my life on. And what happens in my life is I begin to have a butt problem. What I mean is that I begin to say, well, if they would have done what I wanted them to do, I wouldn't get angry, but they didn't do what I wanted them to do. Or it may be for you, listen, I wouldn't do this or I wouldn't say this. Do you know what my kids do to me all the time? Do you understand how my spouse speaks to me? I would respect my boss, but he's a jerk. That's what we're talking about. When we maximize the problem, we have to understand we do have a butt problem. That we will make excuses every single time we're faced with what we need to deal with. You know, for me, I begin to ask the question, well then, all right, if denial is what stops me from change, what will move me to true change? And it's confession. What confession does, confession tells God, listen, God, I want your perspective on how to overcome this area in my life. And what I began to understand is that I have to have a self-awareness. I said that to my wife. I said, listen, I'm learning how to be self-aware of what my surroundings. And she's like, well, what does that mean to you? Well, it means that I can't continue to point the finger at everybody else and say, well, look at them. Look what they're doing. Or look at, do you see? I can justify it. But no, it's saying having an awareness of my surroundings, understanding that I am the problem with me. And so when we begin to do so, we tell God, listen, you're the one who can help me overcome these areas of my life. You see, when I was up on the platform, I was there holding, and everybody's like, you can do it, Jeff. And so I'm like, yeah, sure. Well, just keep looking straight up. You know, well, what do? You look right down. And they said, okay, you know, you can go. And my right foot, I would go. One, two, and it would not let me go. It just, for some reason, it wouldn't let me go. And I had to begin to be aware, okay, everything's going to be all right. You can do this. You're 42 years old. You can do it. You can do it. There was kids 3 times younger than you that did this, right? But we'll get back to that in just a minute. But here's what I want to say. Is that in my own life, I say that God was so great and powerful to save me from eternal separation. And then, when it comes to the little things in my life, guess what I do? I doubt that he will help me overcome. Because I put but in the way. I put if only in the way. Rather than allowing God to say, let me show you how to do this my way, Jeff. Because I can write a much better story. So when we talk about maximizing the problem, then the question for us is, what are you minimizing in your life? What are you minimizing in your life? Maybe it's thoughts, motives, actions, things you're getting into, things that you know you don't need to be involved with. But where are you justifying those things in your life that God's saying, I have a better story? You see, living a better story says that we admit that we have a problem and we confront it with God's help. Also, living a better story says, God, you are greater than the sin that I face. So we said that living a better story begins with maximizing the problem, and that problem is sin. The second, though, is this, is that we want to maximize the freedom. We want to maximize the freedom. Think about it. If you were convicted of a crime and you were put in jail, and then you have to go for your sentencing phase, and then all of a sudden the judge says you have been acquitted of all crimes, you are free to go. I know that each and every one of you would say, you know, Your Honor, I'm really liking that 6x6 cell I'm in, and I really enjoy the 3 hot meals a day. I really love my cellmate. I like the toilet in there. It just adds a great touch. No, you'd be like, see ya. Thank you very much, and I'm going to work very hard not to get back in that situation again. You see, here's the thing. This is what I love about what Paul's saying here in verses 25 and 26. Paul's telling us that God forgave all human sin at the cross of Jesus. That's what he did. And here's what's the neat thing, is that before Christ's death, those who were in the Old Testament, those Old Testament believers, they looked forward by faith that there was going to be a Messiah who came and saved them. And when they believed by faith, there are even in the Old Testament, in the New, if you read, it was says that God credited to them righteousness. God justified them by their faith. And with the New Testament, believers looked back in faith to their crucified and risen Lord. And for you and I, we have a common denominator with them, and that's faith. That's what happened here. It's by faith that we have been saved from eternal separation from God. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, it is for freedom. It's for what? Okay, let's try that again. It is for what?
Freedom.
It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Braveheart, freedom! That's what we've been saved for. Christ has done that. And it goes on to say, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In other words, a yoke was a very heavy wooden piece that would set on an ox, whether it was one or two, and they would pull the plow. It was very heavy. And so what Paul says here in Galatians, he's saying, you are not under that yoke anymore. You have been freed from the bondage of sin. You are beautifully broken. But through my Son, I see you complete. You are free. You don't have to live like a slave anymore. You see, God's grace fixes our corruption. As we learned last week in our Father's Day message, is that God's grace is enough. And when we feel we got to get back under that yoke, when we feel like we got to go back to those same patterns or those thought processes, God's strength is greater than our weakness. You know, when I shared at the very beginning about Kingdom Rock this week, I began thinking, wow, why am I doing this? And One of the things I asked this year, because typically I'm up front, and this year I said, can I go do something different? I would like to try something else. It'd be awesome. And so I was able to go work with the drama team who's downstairs. And we were talking the other night just about how this message of the gospel is being presented in such a creative way. And I'm saying, that's why I'm here. I want these kids to know, even at their age, that there is freedom that can be found in Jesus who can help them stand strong. Not only that, I want their families to know the good news of Jesus Christ so that they can stand strong. And that's why I want to do that, because I want to maximize the freedom that I've been given in Christ. You know, many books and many stories have pictures. I love picture books. That's just me. Even with the adult books, I like pictures in it. So I don't know about you, but like I'll buy a book and then I go right to the pictures and look at them and then read. And it's like, oh man, that I should have not looked at the pictures first. But the point is that the gospel message Paul presents is what Christ has done for us. And what I want to do is I want to show you an illustration by video. It's called Falling Plates on the gospel message. And then we'll continue with our story. Nate, you can get the lights, please. Oh, that's me. Well, there we go. What a powerful image, isn't it? And it's so beautiful that that's what he had done for us. And so the question that I have for us, when we talk about living this better story and maximizing the freedom that we have, the question is what holds you back from living in true freedom? What holds you back from living in the freedom that is offered by Christ who has set us free? You know, living a better story tells us that sin is not my master anymore. Not only that, living a better story says that I will enjoy what I have in Jesus. You know, we started this morning by saying that living a better story is maximizing the problem, having some self-awareness. Not only that, we said we want to maximize the freedom that we can live in that because it is Christ who has set us free. And now we're in the final chapter of our story, and it's called Reckless Abandon. And see, once I was up on that platform, I was leaning up against the telephone pole because the platform is maybe 2 3x3. And so the guy who had me harnessed up and who was belaying me down below, his name's Mark. And Mark said to me, he said, Jeff, whenever you're ready, you can go. Okay. Well, what you have to do, Jeff, is you have to get to the edge of the platform, because I'd backed off when the right leg wasn't working. And so I got to the edge, and he says, remember, don't look down. Okay. And so I was filled with fear, but I was filled with excitement. And what I began to say to myself was, Jeff, you are harnessed in. You got a guy down there who's going to bring you down. It's not a leap of faith. It's a just step off the platform and you're awesome, you know. And you'll look cool to yourself. But here's the deal. I stood there and I said, it's going to be okay. And I closed my eyes and I went with my left foot and I went off. And it was like, you know, I screamed like a girl and everybody was cheering. But here's what was interesting. I got a different perspective on where I was. Because a lot of times in my own life, I put myself in positions where I get short-tempered, I lose my control, or I want others to be controlled. But I begin to have this self-awareness and say, God, I don't want to be this way. I know I'm broken, but I'm beautifully broken. And here's the deal. You can get me through this. And see, for you and I today, the question is for us is, are you ready to go? In other words, what's stopping you from living a better story? And what would your life look like if you chose to live out God's story that has already been written? Well, I'd have to say that it begins with this. It begins by saying, God, change my heart. You see, for many of us here today who have said yes to be a follower of Jesus, I'd have to ask you, what's the story God is writing about you? In other words, is God writing, you know, there are areas in so-and-so's life that they're minimizing, but I want to see them overcome it. And maybe today you've realized that there are some things in your life that you haven't maximized. And maybe today what you need to do is you need to say, God, I want to confess this to you, and I want to begin to take small steps with you and with your help. So whenever you're ready, you can go. There may be some of you here today who have never said yes to a relationship with Jesus. This whole thing is new to you. And maybe God's story he's writing about you is, I so desire to have a relationship with this individual. And maybe today, whether it's through the video or whether it's just God's word speaking to you, that you say, I realize what my greatest problem is. It's my sin. My sin keeps me broken in a relationship with my Heavenly Father. But yet today you see that there was a rescuer who has come in the person of Jesus Christ. So whenever you're ready, you can go. We said at the beginning that our story revolved around a communion table. And what I want to explain about our communion table is that for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, communion is for us to reflect and remember what Christ has done. And for those of us who haven't done that, I'll say this, is if you were to take crackers and juice, it really doesn't have a meaning, because there's a significance in why we do what we do as followers of Jesus. And I request that you just pass that on. It's not that we're singling anyone out. It's just saying that this is for those who have said yes. And if today you say, I do want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then I want you to speak with myself or one of the elders after the service. And then the next time that we take communion together, we can enjoy that as new brothers and sisters in Christ. But right now, I want to ask that the ushers come forward and that we take a time of reflection upon what Christ has done. And as the ushers are coming up, I'd like to read this final passage of Scripture. It's found in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. It says, For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So let's take this time of a somber moment of reflection and remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. Father, we come to you today. We thank you, God, for who you are. You're a God of rescue and redemption. And yet, God, we sometimes live our lives as if we want to live broken all the time. And we get into ruts and we get into default mode of saying, this is all I know how to do. And yet, God, we hear today that if we call out to you, that God, you are greater than our sin. God, you are greater than what we face. And Lord, we ask you to help us with those areas that we need to be aware of. I pray that if we hear your still small voice say, whenever you're ready, you can go, we would go and we would follow you. Father, now we thank you for what you have done already on our behalf. In Jesus' name.